So here's what I want you to do, says Romans 12. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God wants for it does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. That's been the text of our series. We've got a couple of weeks to go on this conversation. And the discussion is, how do we take our faith journey beyond these four walls and live it out as God had intended? And I wanted to share with you today about a critical decision moment in the Bible that still affects our lives today. I guess one of the most challenging things about a faith life is making right decisions. The decision-making process, not one of us are free to make decisions totally independently. We all make decisions based on some kind of influence. Can you say amen to that? We make decisions based on how we feel. We make decisions based on how other people make us feel. We make decisions on how we've been hurt or how we respond to the frustrations of our hurts. Every person here is not free to make decisions completely independently. We are all influenced by something in our decision-making process. Now, you might think, well, it definitely doesn't affect me. When I make decisions, I make them clear and think really well. Let me tell you, you'll find out as you get a little older and a little grayer. And I don't know how that scooter thing got into the clip. It just was there. But as you get a little older, a little grayer, you find out every decision you make is influenced by something. And I want to have a conversation with you today about how do you get the Holy Spirit to be the primary influencer of your decision-making process. How do you get the Holy Spirit to govern or rule over your other decision-making influences? Why is this important? Because some people are losing out on business opportunity, on relationship growth, on contracts, and on success because of the influences to your decision-making process. You might think you're right, but in your being right, you're making yourself poorer. Okay, too much already. I know, I'm going to go home and repent again. Do you know how many times I felt right about something, but the result of that is still not fruitful? And if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to influence you, you start to recognize that being right is very low on the list of God's intentions for your life. Being fruitful is God's intention for your life. One of the challenges of the modern church is we're trying so hard to make Jesus more like us, rather than recognizing that it is Jesus who is trying to make us more like Him. Don't downgrade Jesus into an everyday buddy when He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because what we need is a king, not another friend. Now, He is friendly, and a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But if you allow Him to have the level of superiority, it'll influence your life radically. Amen. So the title for today's message is The Decision-Making Dilemma. And I want to show you something that happened in the Bible and how it affects everyday life. It's a story in the Bible. So I just need to read a bit of the text for you so you get it. 1 Samuel 8 from verse 10. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. Just, you can leave it there for a moment, production. Just background, the Jewish nation never had a king, only a prophet. But one day, they called the prophet, Samuel, and said, we'd like a king. And this is the conversation that happens. He said, this is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will give your sons, he will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariot. So he'll start an army. Some he will assign to his commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest. And still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots, and he will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. If there ever was a sexist verse in the Bible. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give it to them to his attendants. He will even take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants and your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys. He will take for his own use and he will take a tenth of your flock and yourselves will become his servants. And when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No. We want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. And when Samuel heard all that the people had said, he repeated it before the Lord, and the Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. As he scattered the... listen to them and give them a king. This verse is a change in history, and it's a verse that still affects us today. Let me explain to you why. They wanted to do something that was the same as everybody else. If you want God in your everyday life, the departure point is to recognize that your life will not be the same as everybody else. If you keep saying, no, but I don't want God's way, I still want a king, then the Lord warns you're going to land up in a system like everybody else. You're going to get taxed and you're going to get, you have to pay your taxes. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God. Everybody working at SARS, just a quick amen there. You're not going to amen. I thought so. But here's the thing. There are two world systems from that moment on. From that moment on, there was the system under a king and the system under a prophet. And this was the dilemma that was... By the way, you all know that the first king that was then chosen was Saul. And from there, a new line had begun. I need to tell you something that is hard to say, but it would change your life. Is it okay if I do that? You can't succeed in a godly environment with godly principles if you reject godly leadership. You can't mix the two systems. You have to play in both. What do I mean by that? Pay your tax when you have to pay your tax and do God's things God's way at the same time. Now you might think, well, that's very unfair. No, it isn't. The supernatural advantage of living a biblical life is worth more than the pressure of trying to play two different fields at the same time. This idea was so incredibly important in the Bible because the people of Israel really were embarrassed that they weren't like everyone else. Are you embarrassed to put your flag up and say, I'm doing things God's way. I'm running my business that way. I'm doing my transactions that way. I'm living by faith that way. I got to do it God's way. Can you say amen to that? In the next week or two, I'm going to invite someone else on the stage. I've literally begged him for 3 years to do this. So it's been a journey to agree. My own journey, can I share a little bit about that on this topic? For about 5 or 6 years in my life, maybe a bit more honest, for about 15 or 16 years in my life. No, let me just be honest about this. I could come to any church service on a Sunday, shut off my whole world, preach my heart out, and leave my soul on the floor. And as the years went by, thousands came, and lives were changed. And from Monday to Friday, I ignored unknown numbers because my finances were in a mess. No clapping for that one. And how did I solve it? I'd phone my dad. Then he started ignoring known numbers from me. Do you know why this is? So then somebody got into my life and said, you are confusing matters. You're confusing matters. You have boldness in declaring faith, but you have insecurity and inferiority Monday to Friday, so you don't pull it in. And because of that, because you're living in two worlds, you can't live by the faith that God has already put in your heart. You're trying so hard to be like everybody else. You think you'll fall behind if you have a giving generosity, not realizing that you have already fallen through the cracks, falling between two worlds. And if you just simply position yourself in one, it would prosper. Man, that was hard. Now, if there's an unknown number, they're doing something wrong. I'm going to answer it. Because it's fundamentally important that you don't live in two worlds, but you live in one powerful world. Here's the thing, by the way. I hate introducing an Old Testament scripture without reminding you that there is a New Testament solution. The people said to the prophet, "We want a king." And a few thousand years ago, God gave us a king. We know him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For some, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the bright morning star, the shepherd, the good shepherd. We have a king. We don't need another one. Can you say amen to that? I don't need another king over my life. I have one. So, in the 10 minutes I have, I want to share with you, or 12 minutes, I want to share with you three principles on how to bring God's kingdom into your world. Not just on Sunday, but all the time. God's kingdom into your world. In Matthew chapter 13, there is a very well-known parable. It's a parable of the sower who sows seed. Just as a reminder, 2-3 verses. As he scattered the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Production, could you pause there for a moment? They must get tired of me in the back there. I'm so sorry. Hey, we're really looking for more volunteers. If you were looking for a message from the Lord today, Jesus says, go to the info desks and sign up. Okay, remember I said to you, every scripture can have multiple layers of impact. I want to talk to you about how this one has a business impact, not just a salvation impact. I want to say that some things you throw onto the ground will disappear and be lost. And I wish for each of us that we will come to terms with the realization that you can't keep everything. You have to let go of some things so God can keep pouring new things. Yeah, you lost that contract. Move on. You lost that job. Prepare for the next one. If we keep holding on and trying to chase the birds that stole the seed, you will leave the field of fruitfulness to chase something that is already flying away. There are men here who keep saying, oh, I lost the good one. She was the right one. Just wave that goodbye and turn to the field of fruitfulness and get working. You got to do that. As a pastor, I got to do that. I got to have, you know, every now and then someone's going to come to me and say, this church is too big. And I'll go, no, it's not. Have you seen how much space there still is in the parking lot? And they're going to say, but pastor, this is not, you know, this is not for me. This is, and I'll wave. I'll say, I bless you. Now, none of you, okay, in Jesus' name. You stay where you are. That is not the word for you. That is the word for the others. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. We had to let go of Richmond Hill in order to be able to have North End. You've got to let go of one thing to receive another thing. I used to wear big suits. Let it go. I'm talking to some people. I had a conversation the other day. George, I don't know if I can come to your church. Just about everybody's tattooed. Let it go. Or get one. I don't know. Whatever's going to break your whatever. It's not a deal. I'm amazed at the things people are longing for which have gone. There are partners, best friends, colleagues, support group. Throughout your life, learn the skill. You're going to be saying goodbye. And don't do it arrogantly and don't do it aggressively. Do it with compassion and do it with love so that the door is open, always open, that one day you can always say hello. I'm telling you, there's some people who will walk out of this building and they'll walk back in this building. What you don't do is say, oh, back are you? No. You just say goodbye when you need to and say hello when you need to. But some people are staring at the birds of the air who have taken the seeds and upset. unaware that they've turned their back to an entirely fruitful field, while some, just say, some things go. They just do. I wish that wasn't true. It just is. And sometimes it's the will of God. I almost want to say every time it's the will of God. I'm so glad some things left so that God could grow new things. But I'm also glad that you keep your heart open for all things. So the birds of the air came and they took some seeds. Stop mourning that and start believing. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Just for a moment there. There are some things in your life, in your business, that will start out like a romance. Can I give you a bit of advice? Wait a bit. Wait a bit. Some things start like we're just best friends. We're like we were brother from another mother. You're high-fiving each other. Oh, you also have a dog. I also have a... We were born on the same day in heaven. We're going to start businesses. We're going to roll them out. Just wait. Let's see, because maybe your dogs are going to fight each other and one's going to die in this thing. So I'm sorry for the pet owners. Vince and Cherise, no one dies in this story. No animals were injured in the making of this sermon. But do you know how many people make irrational transactional decisions based on an emotional season, but there's no strength and depth in it, so when the sun of pressure rises, it can't handle it? You just wait a bit. You need to take a little bit more time. Can I tell you one of the things I've learned in church leadership, and I know it's true in business leadership. Don't jump too hastily to promote people because you see ability. Wait until you can see character and faithfulness. Don't jump too quickly. And anybody who tells me, George, if we don't promote this person, we're going to lose them. Some seeds were taken by the birds of the air. Because if I've got to jump now to secure without character, I'm going to lose them down the line where it costs more money, has a bigger consequence, and leaves a bigger hole. Tough at the beginning so it can be fruitful later. Some things spring so fast. Oh, I've met young people get born again on Monday, fire their boyfriends on Tuesday, join the internship on Wednesday, serving in band on Thursday, offering to preach on Sunday. Can't find them next Wednesday. Because Vince said, just go practice that guitar a little more, or that concertina, or that whatever triangle. I've applied several times with a triangle. And Vince keeps saying band doesn't need one. But I'm going to persevere. I'm telling you, there's going to come a day I'm going to end a song with a little triangle. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's in my heart. It springs up so quickly. It's so amazing. It's unbelievable. We're like best friends. It's like we know each other and we can think the same. And when you're online, I'm online. And I was going to send that to you. I can't believe you just said, wait a bit. Are you all laughing because you've been there? How many of you would like to like... No way, did you also have... I have that same photo. Amazing. I also had that color on my wall. Just wait. I'm going to see. See, crazy takes a little while to surface. I'm going to have another one of those Sundays when I go home and lie down to recover. No, let me explain to you. She looks fantastic. Her Facebook profile picture, edited or not, is unbelievable. But you don't know that after 8 p.m. she loses the plot. And you've got to duck for the knives that are kept. You just need to wait. Just wait. Just wait. And by the way, stop with those Facebook posts. You are my long lost, you complete me stuff. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. It's going to be very embarrassing next month when we ask you about this person and you've blocked them because we can't tag them. Okay, too much. I apologize. I'm sorry. If you're visiting, come back next week. I'm going to be so normal. No coffee. Are you all okay? Because I'm trying to take it out of Sunday into Monday. And sometimes I look at Monday and I think, when's that? I want to encourage. So some just go away. You must just say goodbye and keep your heart pure. And don't chase after them with insults. You this, you that. Just stop. And don't beg. Don't go after them, please, please. Just, okay. I'm going to do a seminar one day on this, and I'm going to charge $150. And we're going to sit in a hotel for the whole day, and we're going to talk about this. And you know why I'm going to charge? So you don't just come because you're feeling emotionally. You come because you're committed. No, because here's the thing, especially in Christianity, we're like, we pay a lot of money to make the mess, but we don't pay any money to fix it. So, I need to stop. I do. The Christian side of me needs to come out now. And other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. I wonder how many people seated here today. I've got 2 minutes. I wonder how many people seated here. You are being choked by stuff that you can't even breathe to think clearly. You're making decisions out of desperation. That's never a good idea. By the way, before I get to the good soil, I want to tell you that every problem Jesus presents, he also solves. And perhaps some Easter, on a Good Friday, I'll preach from the scripture and I'll show you how on the cross he took every one of those problems and carried them. For the thorns that choked you became the crown that carried you. And you'll find that every one of those things, from the birds of the air to the shallow ground, became a burden he carried on a cross for you. You don't have to have any of this stuff. Choked you. Stuff that wells up in you. Now, full disclosure, some of that still happens. For me, for all of us. You just got to step above it. You got to step above it. Every now and then I'll be in a conversation with someone and I'll say, jeepers, that's a lot of chairs. I'll come and stand down. That's a lot of chairs. People come and visit all the time. Oh, on that point, we've got guests from in here, Cat Lorraine here somewhere. They walked here from somewhere. I don't know. Anthony, is that you over there? Thank you for visiting. And thank you for coming to church with us today. I really appreciate that. And much respect for what you're doing in taking young people on short-term mission during holidays. Much respect. What's choking you? Every now and then I get up here and during the week and I think, sometimes I sit in the back room and I think, will anybody come? Choking stuff. But if you start making decisions, you can have a choking moment, but if you start making decisions, some of you are not investing into your business future because you're getting choked by the possibility of its own success. You hold it down. You know how many dads I have to talk to teach them to release their businesses to their sons? They don't want to do that because they're choking at that moment of intersection. They don't want to do that. So their sons and daughters are going and working for someone else, and you are employing somebody else's son and daughter to come into your... How does that make sense? I guess that's the Greek in me. And still, other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Production, thank you. Whoever has ears, let him hear. There's a fruitful soil in the midst of all these things. You've got to find it. Now, can I have 2 minutes? Just 2 minutes. I'll have you at the coffee lines by 10:20. Because you've got to have your Seattle on the way home. It's just not church without Seattle. Billy. Sorry, Billy. Be careful whose opinion you believe, number one. Hold to the opinion of Jesus. Number two, don't see obstacles, see opportunities. There are opportunities everywhere. Number three, where there is an obstacle, find a victory Obstacles don't prove that God's not in it. Obstacles just prove that the devil showed up. And finally, order your steps. For the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Do you know one of the reasons why we love Father's house? It's because things are done decently and in order. Because the Bible says in Corinthians, when we gather, church should be done decently and in order. How many of you are grateful? It's not crazy. In the sense that this happens, then that, and the unexpected this, and the chaotic that. Because we really believe things must be done decently and in order. Monday to Friday, ask the Lord to order your steps. They must also be done decently and in order. Can you say amen to that? How do I keep, and how do I need to end with this, and I'm going to run like crazy. How do I keep myself from falling into the habit of having a king like everyone else and not a king from Scripture? You have to tithe. You have to tithe. You have to. You must tithe. It's like, oh, this guy. You know, up until about a year ago, I was the biggest investor in Father's house. I sold everything I owned and put $3 million in. But about a year ago, two people in the church beat me. I'm so annoyed. Now I want to start flipping houses again. Come from a really wealthy home. So I can stand up here and say, I've seen it in my life, I've seen it in my family, and I've seen it in my friends. You've got to tithe so that you can fall under the kingdom of God and not like the people with their own kings. Got to do it. What amount? I know people say, I don't like that word. It's all okay, it doesn't matter. Call it anything you want. Just do it. Give it a Greek name, a Hebrew name. What amount? Well, start somewhere, but do it faithfully. Grow in it until you get to the point that you have to think about it. And then watch what God will do. Some people are thinking, oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. That's shaky. Okay, but he is not shaky. He is faithful. Do you know what a joy it is in my life? To not have to worry that when I get a phone call, it's something I'm behind in. What a joy. Now, I know some people are strategizing for a future payday. One step at a time, do what God commands us to do. Now, I know some people are also nervous of this space because you've been abused somewhere in church, you know. Pastor finds out who the rich people are and is constantly visiting. You are in no danger of me doing that. Some people are like, I'll pay you to visit. I'm very sorry you got abused. That's on behalf of my people, pastors, I apologize. You shouldn't be manipulated, taken advantage of, pressurized, forced, or promised something falsely. I'm sorry. But I also want to tell you, I'm sorry if we don't tell you the truth on this. Because we're living it, and it is fruitful. We had to come to this moment at some stage in this topic, right? Because I don't work every day for money. I work every day for the opportunity to glorify God in all that I do. Cash may be king, but it's somebody else's king. Jesus Christ is my king. Would you please stand? Hey, we do this about like once a year, so please love me. Would you give us an extra minute for a prayer? I want to pray for God's success over your Monday to Friday. Parking lot, coffee shop, connections are all exiting right now. But would the rest of you give us a moment? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Would you make it alive to us? Would you teach us to live by faith and not by fear? I pray that you will bless our Monday through Saturday. I pray that you will open doors that have been closed. Teach us to walk by faith in believing you. I pray that the anxiety will fall away and the negative influences to our decision making will be set aside so that you, Holy Spirit, will influence us publicly. We want to live a life that is led by the Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will break over our lives fear, weights and burdens of uncertainty, and the pressure of day-to-day life, and that you will give us peace, rest, wisdom, and godly counsel. We commit that before you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you give God a shout of praise and worship?
Thank you for listening to another Father's House podcast. For any more information, please visit our website at www.fathershousesa.org or connect with us on any one of our social media platforms.